Today's podcast is presented to you by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And also, if you do go and sign up, then, you know, make sure you tell them you heard about it through us in the application. Thanks.
Whisper to me your secrets. Show me your nightmares. All cats are gray in the dark, dear. Whether or not you dare.
Welcome to All Cats Are Gray in the Dark. I'm your host, April Simmons. This podcast contains true cases of graphic violent crimes and other stories of a dark nature. Please be advised that due to the subject matter and violent, sometimes sexual content and obscene language, this podcast is not for children or the faint of heart.
Come here!
Hello!
What is that sound? Is that Skag?
Yes, that is actually Skag. That tap, tap, tap is his feet on the floor.
It was just funny. It was like, hello.
Yeah.
Except my son was cooler.
That's the dog constantly pacing around the house because when James and I are in different rooms, he can't decide which room he wants to stay in. So he just paces back and forth to what? Both of us, I guess, to see, probably to see who's eating. Like, I want to stay with who's eating. Yeah. And,
I mean, that's kind of what I do, so.
I'm only drinking tea right now. He may be back to check, though.
Yeah. I just ate some chicken. Justin made a whole chicken in our ninja air fryer thing.
And, well, I haven't tried that yet.
And we literally ate the whole chicken. The whole family ate the whole chicken.
Oh,
it was good chicken. At least I got chicken.
Yeah. I'm just tired because my husband actually made me leave the house today and it was terrible.
Yeah. I had to leave and go get Nancy a dress for a wedding. And that was enough people. Even though it was like two people in the whole place, it was still enough people. And we was like, try it on a dress. Yeah, that fits. Let's go.
Oh, that's not, that was not meant for you. I sent the wrong person the message.
I cannot like, do it for you. I'm sorry.
I'm telling my husband to keep the dog out of here. I sent it to her. So that didn't really do me any good since we're not in the same location. Yeah.
I have to lock all my dogs out of here. Doesn't matter. They're still loud. We hear them sometimes anyway.
We're finally getting around to doing an episode about Bobby Dunbar, which I've been talking about doing for pretty much the entire time we've been doing this podcast, and then I just have not ever gotten around to it.
Yeah, it's always like on the back burner. Like, yeah, we always got Bobby Dunbar as a backup.
And now we won't anymore, and then it'll be sad.
Oh, no. What?
But I gotta say, this case reminds me vaguely of the one that I was talking about, the Wineville chicken coop murders, where
they tried to replace her to that one.
Oh yeah, but it's, you know, this case is similar in the fact that the authorities tried to pass off a different kid in place of a missing kid. Mm-hmm. So apparently that used to be a thing.
Yeah, no. Let somebody try to do that with my kid. Let me just say.
Well, I mean, our family tree, at least us and her, I mean, it's kind of hard to miss the similarities there. Yeah. So them trying to pass off just some random brunette kid or something, it would be like, no, no.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she looks way too much like her dad now. She grew out of the looks that were more me, and now she just looks like a miniature girl version of her dad. Which is not bad. He's not a bad-looking dude, obviously. But, you know, it's just like, man, he used to look like me.
She still does, though. Yeah. Especially because she
picks cool retro glasses and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, she still looks like you in that
sense.
He's
got my style with Scott's face. I guess I'll take it.
Let's actually jump into the episode. How far in are we this time? Almost 4 minutes.
We're getting there, guys. We're getting there.
Bobby Dunbar was an American boy whose disappearance at the age of 4 and apparent return was widely reported in newspapers across the U.S. in 1912 and 1913. Robert Clarence Bobby Dunbar was the first son born to Lessie and Percy Dunbar of Opelousas, Louisiana. He was born in April 1908. In August 1912, the Dunbars took a fishing trip, like a camp-out fishing type of trip, to nearby Swayze Lake in St. Landry Parish, Louisiana. On August 23rd, while on that trip, Bobby disappeared. He didn't turn up for lunch with his family at the cabin that they were staying, apparently wandered off by himself. Now, I had not seen a lot of detail on what exactly happened that day anywhere else but BuzzFeed Unsolved. I watched their episode about this, and they actually did like a timeline, and you're breaking up real bad. I don't know if I am too or what.
Yeah, you're breaking up for me, but I still understand it. It's just a little computery.
Hopefully it's not too bad when we upload it.
Yeah.
It may be because I have the cord hanging down for the headset. I'm not sure. But BuzzFeed Unsolved did an episode about this case, and I watched it recently, and I'd not heard some of the details that they brought up on that were not in pretty much any of the research that I could find. Like, they actually had a timeline of that day, sort of. And what had happened was they let him and I think his sibling or siblings go down to the lake, like a walk down to the lake with a family friend that was an adult male. And I find that weird because I've never heard him mentioned as an actual suspect, even though,
yeah,
that's the last person that saw him. Which is odd to me. Like, why wouldn't that person be a suspect?
Yeah, that's weird.
So a family friend took the kids down to the lake and then came back basically with the kids, and he was giving one of the other kids a piggyback ride, and somehow Bobby supposedly wandered off while they were on their way back to the camp. So he gets back to camp and realizes Bobby's missing, and then they all start looking for him. You know, they retrace the steps back to the lake and everything and look around for him, and they look for, because he was wearing like a straw hat, so they're looking on the, because if he had fallen in the lake, the straw hat would be floating on top of the lake, right?
Yeah.
And they couldn't find the straw hat anywhere.
That's weird.
Yeah. So he's just vanished. So they, despite the frantic search by his parents, he was not found, and the authorities were called in. First the local police and then the state police embarked on a massive manhunt for the boy. They even caught and cut open alligators and burst dynamite in the waters of the lake in the hope that the body would be dislodged and float up. However, all their efforts came to naught.
I don't know why I've never heard of that, but that's just a horrifying thought of throwing dynamite and hoping a body pops up. Like, what the fuck?
And cutting open live alligators. Like, did you eat the boy? You know, like, I don't.
That's extreme, man. That's extreme.
I know. It's crazy. Okay. And I've got somebody messaging me about a case right now while we're recording. Like, okay, Jesus. Before we go any further, I have agreed to check into a bunch of possibly related cases out of Alabama because the police aren't basically they don't give a shit. And the loved ones of these people are basically asking me to please help.
Yeah.
Because I guess no other podcasts are really covering these cases, and like nobody's doing anything about any of it. And it's like I'm not like an investigative person. Yeah. Like but I can at least help get the word out there for the stuff. So yeah. We're probably going to have some of those cases coming up pretty soon because I've got loved ones contacting me like, please take mine.
Yeah.
You know, like, please take this case. And I'm like, y'all are inflating my sense of importance and I'm probably not going to be that helpful, but okay.
Yeah. Well, even so, just even if someone else listens to ours and they bring it to somebody else, it could start a chain.
Yeah. I hope it does because I really feel bad for these people because they're so frustrated. Yeah. It's a lot of missing girls, some unsolved murders, and it's all in a very small area. Even some of the missing girls are from the same road, even.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that should be famous at this point.
It should be, but it's not. And any attention that it has gotten is because of these loved ones are pushing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not from the police, and that's so sad.
Somebody in the police did it.
That's always possible. Well, I think in this case, it's a lot of some of them were on drugs or involved with people that were on drugs and stuff. So they don't see it as important. They're like, they lived a certain lifestyle. They, you know, they think they either left of their own volition or they deserve what they get, that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, it's like, it is, but it happens all the time. But this is why I got into this whole thing. I was discussing that with James, my husband. I was like, should I take this on? Because it seems like it's going to be a lot, you know? Yeah. And he's like, this is what you wanted to do, so do it. I'm like, okay, yeah, you have a point. It's just, it's a little scary at the same time because I feel the weight of all of their need, I guess you could say, you know, their need for answers. And I don't know if I can give them that, you know, but I want to try. So there's that. Anyway, do you want to read the next part?
Sure. All right. So the only clues that were discovered was a set of footprints of bare feet leading out of the swamps heading toward a railroad trestle, and some reports of an unidentified man lurking in that area resulted in an abduction theory. All right. No. After an 8-month search, authorities located William Cantwell Walters, who worked as an itinerant handyman specializing in the tuning and repairing of pianos and organs. Walters had been traveling through Mississippi with a boy who appeared to match the description of Bobby Dunbar. Walters claimed that the boy was actually Charles Bruce Anderson, generally referred to as Bruce, the son of a woman who worked for his family. He said that the boy's mother was named Julia Anderson and that she had willingly granted him custody. Julia Anderson would later confirm this. Nonetheless, Walters was arrested and authorities sent for the Dunbars to come to Mississippi and attempt to identify the boy. Oh, Lord. I forgot some of this, and it's hurting my feelings again.
Yeah.
All right. Newspaper accounts differ with regard to the initial reaction between the boy and Lessie Dunbar. While one almost certainly fictional account indicated that the boy immediately shouted mother upon seeing her, and the two then embraced, another said only that the boy cried and quoted Lessie Dunbar as saying she was unsure whether he was her son. Other newspaper accounts quote both the Dunbars as initially stating doubts as to the boy's identity. There were similar contradictions in newspaper accounts of the boy's first sighting of the Dunbar's younger son, Alonzo, with one newspaper claiming, once again most likely steeped in fiction, that the boy recognized Alonzo instantly, called him by a name, and kissed him, with another saying the boy showed no sign of recognizing Alonzo. The next day, after bathing the boy...
I gotta stop you right there. As siblings, called him by name and kissed him. No, that didn't happen. That did not happen.
I just love how it's like, they either were like, hell yeah, look at this really romanticized version of our meeting, or they didn't recognize each other at all.
And the truth's probably somewhere more in the middle. Like,
yeah.
They were just like, I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, how long? This is like 8 months. So I don't think enough would have changed for like a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
The next day, after bathing the boy, Leslie Dunbar said she positively identified his moles and scars and was then certain that he was her son. The boy returned to Opelousas with the Dunbars to a parade with much fanfare celebrating the homecoming. Jesus. Shortly thereafter, Julia Anderson of North Carolina arrived to support Walter's contention that the boy was, in fact, her son, Bruce. Anderson was unmarried and worked as a field hand for Walter's family. She said that she had allowed Walters to take her son only for what was supposed to be a 2-day trip to visit one of Walter's relatives. She further asserted that she had not consented for Walters to take her son more than a few days. According to newspaper accounts, Anderson was presented with 5 different boys who were of the same approximate age as her son, including the boy who had been claimed by the Dunbars. When the boy in question was presented, he reportedly gave no indication that he recognized her. She asked whether he was the boy who had been recovered, but was not given an answer and finally declared she was unsure.
Yeah.
What the heck and fresh?
Yeah.
What the hell, man? How can people how do they not know their own kid?
Well, I don't know how many kids she had at that point, but overall she had a bunch of kids out of wedlock. So that's also why this is like the 1910s in Louisiana and Mississippi, and this, you know how people in that time would have viewed a woman with that many kids out of wedlock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was given a bad rap regardless of whether that's true or not.
Yeah. All right.
I'm saying take it with a grain of salt, because look how many different stories there were about the mom.
Man. All right. So upon seeing the boy again the next day, when she was allowed to undress him, what the hell, man? If you really don't think this is this kid, like, I don't understand. All these people bathing and undressing him, that poor kid. I guess a different time, but still.
Yeah.
All right. When she was allowed to undress him, she indicated a stronger certainty that the boy was indeed her son, Bruce. However, word had already spread about her failure to positively identify him on the first attempt. This, combined with the fact that the newspapers questioned her moral character in having had 3 children, the other 2 deceased by that point, out of wedlock, led to Anderson's claims being dismissed. Man, what happened to the other 2 kids?
I don't know.
She just loaning them out like this one? Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. But I guess I'll read from here, because you've been reading a while.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm just intrigued.
With no money to sustain a long court battle, in other words, she was poor as hell, Anderson returned home to North Carolina. She later returned to Louisiana for the kidnapping trial to attest to his innocence and push the court to determine that the boy was her son. At the trial, she became acquainted with the residents of the town of Poplarville, Mississippi, many of whom had also come to proclaim Walter's innocence. William Walters and the boy had spent quite a bit of time in Poplarville during their travels. And the community there had come to know. You know what? I just realized that we know somebody that's from that general area. We should have asked that person if they knew anything about this case. Anyway, if they had any ties to Mr. Pink.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's the area where her family's from. But sorry for using a code name. I'm just not sure if she would feel if she would feel comfortable with me saying that aloud. No. Anyway, but despite the testimony, the court reached the determination that the boy was in fact Bobby Dunbar. I just think it's weird that a court would, not knowing this kid ahead of time, like prior, what gives them the right to say this is this person? Like, yeah. I don't know. That's just weird to me. That's a little bit of overstepping to me.
Yeah.
Walters was convicted of kidnapping while the boy remained in the custody of the Dunbar family and lived out the remainder of his life as Bobby Dunbar. After the trial, the people of Poplarville welcomed Anderson and she began a new life there. So she lived out her life in Mississippi trying to get to stay close to her son to try to get him back and stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually she married and had 7 children.
Phew.
Yeah. According to her descendants, she became a devout Christian, helped found a church, and served as a nurse and midwife to the small community. Although her children indicated that her life was a happy one after settling in Poplarville, they said that she nonetheless spoke often of her lost son and that their family always regarded him as having been kidnapped by the Dunbars. So they considered it kidnapping from the Dunbars.
Mm-hmm.
I guess point of view.
I mean, I can't blame them. I mean,
I'd be mad too. I'd be like, give me my effing kid back.
I'd like to think if I were in this situation, I mean, obviously Nancy's older, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to identify her. But I mean, I could okay. So like 8 months is a lot of time if they're being tortured and beaten and starved, and it might be hard to recognize someone that's been through a lot of trauma, maybe. But in this situation, it's just a kid out freaking traveling. You know, like, it doesn't really make any sense. Like, 8 months with a 4-year-old is not that big of a difference. They don't mention that anything would have really happened to him. You know, like, it just doesn't make any sense to have that much confusion between 2 kids. You know,
here's what I think about the Dunbar family. They were grieving, and this kid came along, and I think they tried to just replace him.
Yeah.
And I think deep down they knew it wasn't him, but they didn't want to admit it to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think deep down they had to fucking know.
Yeah. And I agree, but like, okay, so say, you know, my kid was kidnapped, a different kid was brought back, and I'm like, I don't think this is my kid, but hell, I'll take care of them, you know, otherwise. But I wouldn't just think it was mine.
Well, you wouldn't want to just take somebody else's kid and be like, yeah, this is my kid now.
Else came forward and like, no, that, like, if I were literally in this exact same situation, I would have given the kid back. You know, like, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It's a weird case. It's traumatizing, obviously. And luckily, I don't know anything about that person, you know, like, directly and personally. But I don't know. That's such a dick move.
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree. In 2008, one of Anderson's sons, Hollis, recounted the story for This American Life that in 1944, Bobby Dunbar / Bruce Anderson visited him at his place of business where they talked. Hollis's sister, Jules, has recounted a similar experience wherein a man who she believed to have been Dunbar came to the service station where she worked and talked for an extended period. The Dunbar family also has a similar story as told by Bobby Dunbar's son, Gerald. The family was returning home from a trip and passed through Poplarville when Bobby Dunbar said, those are the people that they came to pick me up from. The Anderson family then had a brief visit with Dunbar. After Walter served 2 years of his prison term for kidnapping, his attorney was successful in appealing the conviction, and Walters was granted the right to a new trial. Citing the excessive costs of the first trial, prosecutors in Opelousas declined to try him and instead released him after 2 years. Okay, so if that really was Bobby Dunbar, then yes, he was a kidnapper. Like, so I guess I don't understand, like, you're going to uphold the fact that it's Bobby Dunbar, but you're going to let him out of prison after 2 years for kidnapping? Yeah. Like, that's fucking stupid. After his release from custody, Walters resumed an itinerant lifestyle. He died April 7th, 1945, and was buried in Pueblo, Colorado, beside his wife. The grandchildren of Walters' brother reported that during childhood, he typically visited their grandfather a few times per year, and that during those visits, Walters always maintained his innocence regarding the kidnapping charge. The boy raised as Bobby Dunbar married, had 4 children of his own, and died in 1966. His family members maintained that while he had been told of the traumatic childhood events, he always upheld that he believed he knew his identity and that he was Bobby. Years after Bobby Dunbar's death, well, I guess I can see that, though. I mean, he was so young that he probably didn't know.
Yeah.
Regardless, you know, he probably doesn't even remember all that stuff. or didn't remember that all that stuff at that point, you know? Yeah. Here's the part of the story that gets more interesting to me. Years after Bobby's death, one of his granddaughters, Margaret Dunbar Cutright, began her own investigation of the events, poring through newspaper accounts, interviewing the children of Julie Anderson, examining the notes and evidence presented by the Walters defense attorney for his kidnapping trial and appeal. Linda Traver, the granddaughter of Julie Anderson, and Margaret Dunbar, the granddaughter of Bobby Dunbar, both believed the boy who had been traveling with Walters was a part of their families. And to some extent, both were setting out to prove that their family's version of events were true. As their investigation progressed, tensions between the two women arose. As the time went on, a full-on feud erupted between the two families. Margaret was convinced that it was Bobby Dunbar all along. And Linda said in the documentary, "I was totally convinced that it was Bruce Anderson all along." When it came to surface that Margaret didn't believe Bobby Dunbar was really Bruce Anderson, Travers was bristled at the assumption that her family history was no more than a fictional story. Travers then confronted Margaret. "You need to look a lot more closely," recounted Margaret. "You keep wanting to know all about Julia. You need to look more into Leslie and Percy and judge their characters." And that did not make me happy in retrospect. She was absolutely right. I did need to put down what I believed and be able to look at it with fresh eyes. With a new perspective, Margaret began to see things that shook her entire family's foundation. Although Cutright had initially hoped to prove that her grandfather was a Dunbar, her research ultimately led to her doubt. Dunbar and Travers uncovered an anonymous letter sent to the Opelousas courthouse in the defense of the accused. And they defeated Julia Anderson. The letter was sent by someone who referred to herself as the Christian woman. What she really wrote really struck a chord with Margaret and changed her perspective about the entire case. The letter received by Walter's lawyer read, "Dear sir, in view of human justice to Julia Anderson and mothers, I am prompted to write you. I sincerely believe the Dunbars have Bruce Anderson and not their boy. If this is their child, why are they afraid for anyone to see or interview him privately? I would see nothing to fear, and this seems strange. The Dunbars claim that if this had been their own child and he had been gone 8 months, do you think his features would be so changed that they would not know him only by moles and scars? This is a farce. If the Dunbars do not know their child, who has only been gone 8 months, by his features, why, they don't know him at all." Margaret had an epiphany. Reading the Christian woman's letter made things extremely clear for Margaret's take on her grandfather's case. It simply dawned on me, oh my God, she's right. What a farce. What a farce this is. It was time to settle this mystery once and for all. In 2004, after an Associated Press reporter approached the family about the story, Bob Dunbar Jr. consented to undergo DNA tests to resolve the issue. The results showed that Dunbar Jr. was not related by blood to his supposed cousin, the son of Alonzo Dunbar, who was the younger brother of Bobby Dunbar Sr. Since the DNA test is conclusive, the fate of the real Bobby Dunbar remains unknown.
So sad.
I guess that's the one thing. I've always found this case fascinating, but it also bugs me.
There's a giant spider coming towards me. Oh, God. No!
That wasn't part of the story.
I don't have any shoes on to kill it.
Just find something.
It's just like a garden spider, but it just came out from under, like, my patio door. It was just like, oh, hey, how's it going? I'm going to come directly at you. All right.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Yes.
I guess that's, like, what bugs me is that there really isn't a resolve. Like, we will probably never know where the real Bobby Dunbar is.
Yeah.
Now we know that that was Bruce Anderson.
Yeah.
But we don't know where the real Bobby Dunbar is. Would the real Bobby Dunbar please stand up?
Yeah.
Like that. It bugs me. It bugs me that I'll probably never know.
I mean, how many of those are out there? This one, I mean, at least what was thought to be a happy ending really wasn't. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say. It's just, it's messed up. It's so messed up.
Well, yeah. You want to read the next couple parts?
Maybe eventually DNA will get crisscrossed on a family history thing that crops up a whole set of Dunbar DNA, and that somebody, like, maybe will find actual Bubby Dunbar's familial line, you know, one day. It's possible, you know, like.
It's possible, but I feel like he probably was in that swamp or something. Like, he, you know. Yeah.
It's probably a lot more tragic than we want to think about.
Yeah. And I still want to know, who's the name of this family friend, and why was he not a suspect? And if he was a suspect and got cleared, then why not say that so that the rest of us aren't like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, like, he said he was, like, it said that he was carrying them, like, another kid on his shoulders. So, like, mm-hmm. What did the kid say? What did the kid see?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe he destroyed the straw hat, and then he came up with the idea of, like, let's look for the straw hat. Surely the straw hat would be there. I'm trying to make it funny because it's sad, but I mean, really, like, I mean, that's something you do. Is like, oh, here's a great idea. Let's look for the floating straw hat. No, you wouldn't be out. You know, he's obviously not in the water. Hell, yeah. I mean, it's not that hard to take off a fucking straw hat and destroy it, you know, like, or bury it and whatever. But,
and I mean, he could have, like, yeah, if he got rid of the hat, then he probably could have just weighed him down with rocks or something. Yeah.
But how would he do all that without the other kid noticing?
I don't know.
That's, I guess that's why maybe I just don't, maybe that's why it was kind of written off, is because, like, he was with another kid, like. Kid just literally wandered off while maybe he was supposed to be walking behind them, and because he was holding a kid on his shoulders, he just didn't notice. I mean, that's all I can think of, but yeah, you know, just it's crazy how far kids can get so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, like, The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. Have you read that one, Stephen King?
Mm-mm.
I mean, obviously it's fictional, but, like, it takes no time for her to get lost. Of course, that's out in the Maine woods, and that shit is scary. Like, there's nothing. There's not a lot of people out there in Maine. I think that's why Stephen King writes about it. But yeah, all she does is, like, veers a little off to go pee, and then, like, doesn't find her way back to a walking trail.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. And she's out there for, like, a week in the Maine woods by herself. Anyway. You want me to read the next part?
Mm-hmm.
In March 2008, Public Radio International's This American Life featured The Ghost of Bobby Dunbar, a radio documentary about the investigation of the case by Margaret Dunbar Cutright. She expressed her own opinion that the real Bobby Dunbar most likely fell into Swayze Lake during the fishing trip and was eaten by an alligator. She revealed that the results of her investigation had brought joy to Julia Anderson's family as vindication of her claims, as well as to William Walter's family as an exoneration of the kidnapping accusation against him. She also said that her findings had sown discord within her own family, as the majority of her grandfather's children and grandchildren considered themselves to be members of the Dunbar family, cherished their existing familial relationships, and resentful of Cutright both for having delved into the matter and for having helped renew the topic in terms of public attention. To this day, Margaret has yet to be fully forgiven by her family, at least not every member of it. After the news of her grandfather caught traction in the media, her relatives felt as though she had disrespected her family's history and heritage, and to add insult to injury, in a very public way. Like, I'm sorry! Like, y'all stole someone's kid. Like,
yeah, that's how I feel about it. I would be like, oh, you don't like that I did that? Here's my middle finger.
Yeah, like I'm just sure being embarrassed by that part of your family's history, but she didn't steal the kid. Y'all didn't steal the kid,
and she went into it to actually make the point, and then found out the opposite was true.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly her fault. Again, she wasn't the one that stole the kid or made the kid not be the kid. I don't know. That's just pointless. There's plenty of other reasons to hate your family, but this isn't one of them.
Yeah. In 1932, when Bobby Dunbar 2.0,
fake Bobby Dunbar.
Yeah, I guess that, I guess that's what they're saying. Was 18 years old. I was confused for a second. I'm like, what? 18 years old. A few reporters approached him for the comment on his kidnapping. At the time, the story of the Lindbergh kidnapping was sweeping the nation. Reporters wanted a comment from the stolen child of yesteryear. When asked about his memories of the kidnapping, Bobby Dunbar's comments on the incident supported the truth. He said he remembers being with William Walters when he was arrested, but made no mention of the family camping trip. He also recalled that he was not the only child Walters was traveling with. The plot thickens.
Oh, God.
So it's possible he kidnapped both of them, but then went free after 2 years?
Yeah.
And we still don't know what happened to the real Bobby Dunbar.
Yay.
So that could have been Bobby Dunbar that was traveling him, or it could just be another kid entirely that he kidnapped. Yeah. I don't...
Maybe it was one of Julia Anderson's other children that we don't understand what happened to.
Yeah, I don't either. The young Dunbar recalled that another child traveled with them but had died shortly before Walter's arrest. The media began to speculate that Walter was responsible for the kidnapping of both Bobby Dunbar and Bruce Anderson, and it was Bobby who had died. Bobby Dunbar, a.k.a. Bruce Anderson, had accepted this theory and adopted it as his life story. That Walters had kidnapped both boys remains a possibility but cannot be confirmed. After all, he was very young when this all transpired. As for Walters, his lawyer won an appeal and he was released from prison. He never made mention of a second boy. What compelled the Dunbars to accept a child that they knew wasn't really theirs? Did they want to fill the void of grief and guilt of knowing they lost a child, or was it something more? Though many questions were answered in the identity of Bobby Dunbar, there are some questions that remain unanswered. And I guess that's a big one for me, is was it something more question? But like, oh, brings God, up.
Yeah, that just made me like sick.
Was it them, and did they accept this other kid so that they didn't, so that nobody ever found out that they either let their other kid die or killed themselves?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Okay. Because that's what brings up that question. It's like, and the fact that Julie Anderson's remaining line, when they were trying to get Margaret to investigate further, what they said, they were like, look into the character of the mom and dad.
Yeah.
And that says, like, that maybe Julia and her family did investigate into that family and did not like what they saw.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting side of it.
Yeah, you know? But, like, I mean, if they killed their son, accidentally killed their other son accidentally killed their son, this other person accidentally, like, what would have happened? Like, damn, we didn't get away with getting rid of our son, so let's just take a new son?
Yeah.
Like, how hard would it just be like, yeah, that's not ours. We're still without the son we didn't want. You know, like, I don't understand.
But it was still getting, it was getting a lot of media attention stuff. So maybe they thought, if we accept this kid, it'll get the heat off of us.
Yeah. But that only made it worse.
Yeah. Because then the whole, you know, is it or isn't it Bobby Dunbar is what made this story blow up and last through the years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
This one hurts me. It hurts my heart.
Yeah. It's just the fact that, like I was saying, it's going to bug me that I'll never know what happened to the real Bobby Dunbar. And I think that's also probably why I've keep been putting off this story, because even though I find it absolutely fascinating, there's so many different aspects to it. Not just like, there's a missing kid, possibly dead in a swamp. There's the alligators, and there's the replacement kid, and then there's the whole
fight between the families. Yeah,
the fight between the families.
It's like I've talked about this before, maybe not on the show, probably, but it's like, if I think too hard about, like, but what's outside of the, like, this galaxy. Oh, there's other galaxies, but what's outside those galaxies? I don't know. Like, it's just blackness. When does it stop? Is it a box? Is it a circle? Like, I go down this, like, really dark path of trying to understand how things work. And that's what it feels like now. It's just, like, never-ending theories of what could have happened to this fucking kid. And why these people did what they did, like...
Well, if this one affected you that bad, then don't go back and listen to the Wineville Chicken Coop Murders one.
Oh, God.
Because we still don't know for sure about that one either. Like, it's assumed that the kid, that's what happened to that kid, but they didn't ever find his body.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, so maybe you should avoid that one.
Yeah.
But the movie with Angelina Jolie is pretty good.
What was it again? You already told me. And
Changeling.
Okay.
It's more focused on the story of the kid that went missing and the kid that was brought back, that whole thing, and then her getting committed or whatever. It's more about that and less about the actual murders that happened.
Yeah.
But it's that's what it's based on anyway.
Interesting. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
But are we? Yeah, it's about time for the
alternate endings.
But first I'm gonna do a shout out first. Okay. One Strange Thing. There's a podcast called One Strange Thing. They're like maybe 10 or 15 minute episodes, and each story just tells a really weird story. Like, it's not, most of them aren't dark. They're just weird stories. Like, there's the first one I think I listened to, I might have been the first episode, I'm not sure. But the first one I listened to was one about some dude that owns some kind of company dies, and the logo for the company he owns is like an owl that's like almost like a Smokey the Bear type of figure. Like, it's been used in advertisements for like nature, reserving nature, and you know, that kind of stuff through the years. And I can't remember what state it was. Might have been Michigan or something, but it kind of had this like weird Mandela effect, because people started coming out of the woodwork claiming they're the ones that designed this owl or eagle. It was an owl or an eagle. Now I'm like confused whether it was an owl or not, but either way, but it's just weird because all these people come out of the woodwork and claim that but they all have the same story. And that's what's really freaky, is that they're all like either myself or this other person I know as a child came up with this design for a contest that they had at their school to come up with a design for this like nature conservation stuff. And all of them claim, like every single one of them claims either themselves or someone else they knew designed it. But like I said, it's always the same story, that in third grade or fourth grade or whatever, I designed this and I submitted it to this contest.
Weird.
But it's all the same story. And it's like literally hundreds of people came forward with that same story. And I just, that's weird to me. It's another Mandela effect type of thing. Like, what? How can that be? And they all sent letters in and to the new, I think it was like a newspaper that had published the thing about the guy dying or whatever. They like all sent letters in and stuff, and it's weird. It's just weird. But anyway, that's just a sampling. There's a bunch of different stories, but they're, like I said, they're really short episodes and they're just weird stories.
Props to them for fitting things in 10 to 15 minutes.
I know, right? How do they do it? It's magic.
I think everything is a spider now. I keep like my headphone cable will touch me and I'm like, spider. Oh, God.
Yeah. And I also want to shout out BuzzFeed Unsolved, since I basically used some of their information from that episode. They're on Hulu, by the way, and it's two really cute nerdy guys that do unsolved murder type of stuff and the, like, true crime stuff, and then they also do paranormal episodes too. So I've been watching their stuff and getting new ideas for the show too. I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna do an episode on that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I finished rewatching all of Gilmore Girls and A Year in the Life again, so now I've restarted Dawson's Creek.
Well, When you feel like something different, put on BuzzFeed Unsolved on Hulu.
Maybe
it's
once
so
I get,
good.
Once
I know you have an Asian, I know you have an Asian fetish, and it's a cute little nerdy Asian guy that's one of the hosts.
When?
And I'm like, man, I wonder, see if we could get them on the show, because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they're celebrities, but not like big time celebrities or anything. You know, like
get them while they're fresh.
Get them while they're fresh, yeah. But anyway, I adore them. And I've been watching the crap out of that stuff. And bugging my husband by making him watch it with me, too.
Nice.
I'm like, you gotta see this episode. And he's just like, okay, whatever.
I look forward to when I get off work that I don't have school to do. And that starts as of after the 21st. So I got... 10 days left of school.
And that yawn said everything.
Yeah.
Okay, our list this time, events to time travel to. Do you have yours ready?
Yep. I actually don't have any honorable mentions this time.
I have two. So yeah, that's a short one compared to normal.
And some of
I actually had a try. I know at least one of them is.
Yeah.
Most of mine are music related.
Yeah. I went first last time, so you have to go first this time.
Okay. Live Aid 1985. Yeah. I know that's something. I knew that one was going to be on yours.
Yeah.
We're both music lovers, and God, that lineup.
Yeah. And that's the great thing,
is
too.
Like everything.
If you're already time traveling, you can go to both. You can go to the UK and the US and see both.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's do that. Let's book that.
Or just hitch a ride on Phil Collins' plane, because he played both. He opened the UK and flew to the US and closed it, or vice versa. So he's the only person that played at both shows.
Dang. And then you get to ride on a plane with Phil Collins.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
And you could be like, doo 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 doo. Anybody, it's the, you know.
You're a drummer. Everybody else is like, what?
Oh, my God. I'm just going to leave it like that. I'm not even going to explain it. You know, like, any... The name Phil Collins, that should just be it. Like, you should know what that is.
It should just always be followed, like, punctuated by that, the drum beat from that song. Yeah. My number two might be on yours. I'm not 100% sure. Elvis 68 comeback special.
Oh, dang. That's a good one. Just assume that.
Because 68 Elvis in that black pleather jumpsuit thing. Yeah. And we're from Tupelo, which is Elvisville, USA, where he was born.
He wasn't born in Memphis.
Yeah, I've had people try to tell me that. I'm like, dude, I'm from his hometown. You cannot argue this with me. Like, go look at Wikipedia or something. Jesus Christ. Elvis always has a special place for me, even though some other people around here don't feel that way, including your husband.
Yeah.
But that was like top peak Elvis is the 68 comeback special. Would
that
love
leather
to have been,
outfit
like,
front- and him playing when he's playing That's All Right, Mama.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Number three. Nirvana Unplugged, 1993.
Hmm. Looks like we have a theme here.
Yeah.
We really like concerts.
Well, my top three, and one of my honorable mentions, but those were all themed, and now we're going to go off the rails.
Hmm.
Which is weird, because back then I did not like Nirvana at all.
Yep.
Nirvana is something that grew on me after the fact. Because I had a roommate in college that wore out, and I believe it was Incesticide. Or it might have been In Utero. God, I can't remember now. Which one has Heart-Shaped Box on it?
Shit, if I know. You know I don't know. Like, I'm barely good at knowing names of tracks, much less which album they're on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I didn't like Nirvana at the time. And then through the years, it grew on me. And I branched out from the stuff that was on the radio to other stuff that was better and learned to appreciate them more. And I would like to go back. And I actually have a friend that was there. She can point you, she can show you the video and point out where she was. And I was like,
UFO.
I'm so, yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm so jealous of this. It's my friend Melanie.
Yeah.
I know she has listened to the show. I don't know if she still does, but anyway, hi Melanie. We hate you for going to Nirvana Unplugged. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Isn't she the same one that went to like a party that Christina Ricci was at too?
I think so. Cause she's from New Jersey originally.
Yeah.
And I think they went to school together or something before Christina Ricci was famous.
Yeah.
I believe so. At least that's what she told me. Yeah. Anyway. Four is a really weird one. The Last Supper.
That's odd. Yeah.
I mean, just, can you imagine? And then coming back to your normal time and you're in the painting? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's one of those situations I'd be real afraid to fuck up something.
Yeah. Like, you're standing behind somebody doing like a peace sign, rabbit ear peace sign behind their head. Like, I did this to Jesus.
Or I'd like get under the table and like peek between some robes.
I almost snorted my tea. Anyway. Okay, and this is a random one. Like, I had to do some far reaching on this because this is actually, as much as I love time travel, I have not thought this through until we did this list. Yeah. Like, I really had not completely thought this through. I thought, like, maybe I'd thought of the Elvis and Live Aid, but the rest of it I just had to come up with. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So five is go visit Van Gogh before he committed suicide.
Damn you. That's also on my list.
Is it really? How do we both get that?
Yeah.
And you know what brought this on is that BuzzFeed did an episode about whether he really committed suicide or not, because they never found the gun or anything.
Weird. Uh-huh. I don't even know much about like Vincent Van Gogh as a person. I just know his paintings are the best that there ever is and was. And I always cry the hardest that episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Where they like bring him back and let him know how much of an effect he had on the world. And I'm just like, oh God, I love you.
Yeah. That's so great. But no, his death was very mysterious. People, because he actually did not name anybody, because he lived through, I think, till later that night.
Yeah.
He died in his bed that night or whatever, but he didn't name anybody.
Hmm.
So some people speculate that it was some neighborhood kids or something, and it was an accident, and that he didn't want to get them in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's part of the whole mystique there. And I want to visit him before, just to visit him in general, but also I want to know what happened. So that's why. So that, if you don't check out any other episode, I'm recommending that you check out the Van Gogh episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved. And my honorable mentions, just maybe like 100 years into the future, just see what things are like.
Oh.
Like, I don't want to go too far into the future because I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But a little bit into the future and just see what the world is like. Like, you know. And then my only other honorable mention was Woodstock, but I put a question mark beside it because I was like,
do you really care?
It's like, I mean, I care about some of the bands, but like, I hate outdoor festivals in general.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, I don't know if that's worth it, because you know, all the shit that went down there was god awful.
Yeah.
Like the mud and the heat, the mud, all of that stuff. Like, it's just like, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
But the idea of just, what if you could just pop in and see the bands you wanted to see and just pop right back out? Like, I don't think I'd want to stay the whole time.
Yeah. Depends on how efficient our time traveling is and what kind of...
If you can just pop in and out whenever you want and it's not a big deal.
Or if, like, nobody can see you, that'd be pretty cool.
Cloaking.
Yeah. Some sort of cloaking and something safe, at least for my list.
Drop in, get sick of everybody's BO, pop back out.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Okay, your turn.
All right. Well, number one, big surprise. No, I always go backwards. So sorry. Let me back that up. Number five is the Winchester Mansion being built.
Oh, wow.
I want to just like set up a tent and just sit back and watch that bitch go crazy. Like, like I want to. Wow. What if it's me? What if it's me sitting in a tent and make her go crazy? Like,
no. she can't see you, and like, you're like, hey, build a staircase right there that doesn't go.
Oh God, she her things, and like some things spoke to her in the house, told her what to do. Shit, it's me over there. We're like, yeah, like that, just like that.
Because you get there, and she's just, it's like you time travel, and you're like, she's just building a regular house. What the fuck? This is not any fun. So then you start telling her what to do.
Yeah.
And it's you the whole time.
Yeah.
The end. Yeah. We need to write that story.
Now we know.
Now we know what happened. It's all Sabrina's fault.
All right. Number four. This one is one of those situations. There'd have to be safety or cloaking or something, but Chernobyl.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That shit is so crazy. I still haven't finished watching that show because I guess my HBO crap expired, so I never finished it. But
an everything proof bubble.
yeah, no joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, just seeing it. I mean, obviously. Okay, so let me back up. If I could stop these things from happening without ruining the fucking world, then yeah, I'd love to go back to Chernobyl and stop it from happening, or wars, or people dying, and Titanic. You know, like, the list goes on, but I'm just saying, if you can literally just time travel to watch something, and you can't control it, because you can fuck up the whole world, you might not have been born, you know, like, this is
born.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it calls for that language. You wouldn't have been born. But yeah, so I just think Chernobyl was so significant and so insane that it would just be interesting to kind of...
I just have a weird thing for, like, abandoned towns and stuff like that anyway. I think it's something that I never realized until you said that, because I was just like, I would, like, any, like, abandoned town I would like to visit in general.
Yeah.
But that one's interesting, too, and, like, other, like, Pompeii type of stuff, you know? Yeah. Like, anything like that that's... something terrible happened and the whole town had to be abandoned. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, isn't it like in the Dark Tower? I forget which book, but there's like an underground subway, and there's like doors to different like famous things that happen, like doors through time. You're like, watch Lincoln get assassinated. Watch the JFK assassination. Like, there's doors literally to go check this shit out. And maybe in the future there is something like that. It's like, ooh, you could pay $50 and go see JFK, or you could pay $100 and watch Chernobyl, because that requires safety equipment. You know, like,
what if it was set up like a time, just like a time viewer?
Yeah.
Set up like a movie theater. You can go sit, get a balcony seat, and watch that stuff happen real time at that point.
Maybe that's more realistic to happen than actual
time travel. And it seems like it would be safer than time travel, because then you wouldn't be affecting things, you'd just be watching.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
Let somebody get on that.
Right. But make it holographic.
I forgot. I don't think I ever mentioned on the podcast about the guy emailed me the time travel stuff.
Oh, yeah, whatever happened. Yeah, no, we talked about it, but I don't think...
He's written me back several times, but I just can't get the full story out of him. He just said he lost a bunch of money and did stupid things, and that he wants to be able to fix it. But he never writes me more than like a sentence at a time, so I kind of gave up. Like, I was just like, I really want a more interesting story out of this, but I can't seem to get it out of him. Yeah. So
that's crazy. All right. Number three is Vincent Van Gogh painting Starry Night. So I don't, not the exact same, but I'd love to just like sit, like be hiding in the, in a field, like binoculars, watching him, you know, like just spying on him. Or if, again, if there's cloaking, then I'll be standing over that bitch's shoulder and be like a little more yellow.
You know what? Since I'm going to try to, since I wanted to time travel to him right before his suicide, what if I'm what caused him to get killed? I just pop up out of nowhere and some kids are like, shoot that, it's the devil.
Yeah.
And then they hit Van Gogh instead. And I mean, like, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
But I could see that. I could see that happening.
Yeah. All right. Number two is Depeche Mode Live at the Rose Bowl 1988. So that one in particular is when they kind of really started getting popular in the U.S. And I've watched some videos. And, of course, like, the Everything Counts Live video is from that concert. And, like, you can see Dave DeHaan, like, realizing, oh, my God, we made it. And he's, like, crying while he's singing and spinning. And I'm just like, I want to be there for that. Just the best. And then number one, of course, is Live Aid. And I kind of explained like my plans there. I'd want to go to both concerts. But I mean, really, you get to see Queen, David Bowie, Duran Duran, Phil Collins, like everything, everything. Madonna.
Yeah, I think I care more about the UK one.
But really, I mean, kind of mixed, because some of the ones you think would be at the UK weren't. I think David Bowie was actually on the US one. I don't know. Really? But I've actually got the DVDs. Like, I've been, okay, this is like a weird backstory, but I've been on very few dates in my life. Yes, I've been married 3 times, engaged 4 times, but I've never really been taken out on a lot of dates. It's always been like relationships, and I already knew the person before I started dating them. So one of the like 2 times I've been on a date in my life, I really think it might have been 2 times. And one of them, the guy was like, this is not a date. And like, okay, you're taking me to a fancy restaurant, whatever. Anyway, so maybe just one date. This one date I went on was the best date I've ever been on. Anyway, so it was a guy I worked with. So again, somebody I already knew, but like I had just moved back from Huntsville. It ended that almost marriage, the one engagement that wasn't a marriage. And I had gotten along with the guy really well, thought he was cute, whatever, but, you know, obviously was engaged, didn't think anything about it, just it was a nerdy software developer that I worked with. But, like, once I moved back here, then he was like, hey, we should go on a date. I'm like, well, shit, why not? I'll go back to Huntsville again and go on a date. So I actually went out there, visited with my old coworkers, went on the date with him, and like, so we went out to eat. I think, no, we saw a movie. We did both. We ate, and then we saw Alice in Wonderland. And then we went back to his house and just hung out. And like, he had the Live Aid DVDs, and that's literally what we did for like hours upon hours. Because we didn't really know a lot about each other, and you know, he had great music taste, and like, we just. We're like, and I was like, I've always wanted to watch Live Aid. And he's like, look at this shit. And I'm like, ah. So we just watched Live Aid, fell asleep, got up, went back home. But that was like the best date ever. Again, because it's the only one. But also because he had Live Aid on DVD. And was the best kiss I've ever had. Or best first kiss I've ever had. So hey, Shout out to you, guy. But yeah, long pointless story, but Live Aid is the shit, and I'm glad I own it again. So my husband got that for me for Christmas last year because I've talked about that date. Maybe he's just tired of hearing about it. But
or maybe he thinks that you'll associate the positive part of that date to him now.
Yes. And so I actually still haven't sat and watched all of it consecutively now, but I've skipped around a little bit because, you know, get to the David Bowie parts and the Queen parts and all that. But yeah, good shit. Yeah. Good shit. The end.
Okay. The end.
Shout out.
No honorable mentions this time.
No, I couldn't think of any. I was kind of like you. It's always been Live Aid and Depeche Mode at the Rose Bowl. And I've never really thought hard past that. I mean, yeah, like.
I mean, yeah, everybody thinks like I'd go back and kill Hitler. Like, no. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Because It's like
time travel to sitting in the attic with Aunt Frank and be like, hey guys.
I know, right?
Or on the Titanic, be like, y'all gonna die.
Y'all gonna die. Okay. Yeah, I would love to visit the Titanic if we could get off of it before it sank.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it all boils down to the time travel restrictions. But
yes, and not affecting stuff. Because, I mean, hell, that would just be a cool-ass vacation. I know that's terrible to say, but I've never even been on a cruise, so I'm like, yeah. Titanic, hell yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you were to ask my husband this, he would be like, I want to go to the Dolotov Pass and find out what the fuck happened.
I think a lot of people want to know that, but yeah.
Let's time travel to figure out where the fuck Bobby Dunbar went.
Yes. That's probably the honorable mention for my entire list of unsolved cases. And
yeah.
Like, can we go see who Jack the Ripper was? Can we just pop in wherever he killed somebody and be like, who the fuck are you? Just come up behind him and be like, I gotta know. Who are you? And then, yeah, like all of that stuff. Pop into the JonBenet household.
Oh, God, JonBenet. That shit, that's another one that makes no goddamn sense, and it pisses me off. There's so many people it could have been. It looks so bad on that whole family. Like, I don't get it. Like, oh, sorry.
We need to find if that dude is still living in Aberdeen. We need to get him, her, I don't know if she's still going through with the sex change or not. So I don't know how to refer to that. I don't want to be insulting. But she was living in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Moved here like a few years back. And I would like to talk to that person and see what they have to say.
Yeah.
Because that person admitted to doing it and then
it didn't
took it back.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the honestly, the details didn't match up. So I'm guessing that person just wanted attention. But there's still a lot of suspicious crap to that person. And that person also, like, has some other weird stuff. I think they admitted that they're attracted to minors. Like, I don't know. I think that would be an interesting interview. Not that I like that person.
Yeah.
Or want to bring them more, even more attention, but I just think it would be interesting to talk to that person.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm all about LGBTQ, trans rights, all of that stuff. It's just that I'm not even sure what that person's pronouns are at this point. So I'm trying to be respectful of that.
They for now.
But that would be interesting. But all of that stuff, like who's the Zodiac killer, all just anything like
Leo
that.
Chi.
Oh God, yes, we would want to know who killed Leo Chi. I want to go back to that day, that morning, and just hide outside her house and see what happens. It's storming out there. Let's hide and see what happens.
Yeah, let's do it.
I know, right? Someone get on that. Somebody get on that, and we will go check out all the unsolved mysteries.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, if there could be a time travel, I'm like, I was all ready to go, like, God, I'm tired. Let's stop talking. But now I've had back to our whole theater time travel situation. If someone invented that, like, wouldn't that be a kick-ass job of, like, transcribing history? Just like, rewind that back to 1900. Let's follow this now. You know, like.
Or what if its job, what if your job was to go back and dictate what really happened in some of these unsolved cases and stuff? Like, you go back and watch that event and write it out in detail so that we know what happened.
Yeah. You know, do you think, though, like, if we have
theater. I want that job, time by travel the way. Theater. Somebody give me that job.
Yeah. Yeah, if we have time travel theater, I'm pretty sure we'd have auto closed captioning at that point.
Yeah, probably. So. Maybe. I don't know. Closed captioning still sucks to this day.
Yeah.
Like,
perfect, but it'd probably be enough and maybe just some editors. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, all right. I'm tired. I have a headache.
All right.
I got finals next week. All right.
Good luck with that. Doo-doo bye, everybody. Doo-doo bye.